from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian-Japanese exhibition on history strengthened cultural cooperation with Japan. Government launches 3 packages to attract Russian tourists. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pani. In commemoration of the 110th anniversary of the National Awakening Day, which coincided with the 60th anniversary of the diplomatic relations between Indonesia and Japan, Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture, in cooperation with the National Library of the Republic of Indonesia, PNRI, the National Archives of the Republic of Indonesia, ANRI, the National News Agency Antara, and the branch office of the Republic of Indonesia state-owned printing company Surakarta Lokananta held a historical exhibition carrying the theme of flowering cone between Bedil and Sakura. This activity was officially opened on Thursday by the Director General of Culture, Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia, Hilmar Farid, in PNRI Building, Jakarta. According to Hilmar, some of the material on display were new materials that had not previously been shown to the public. Therefore, this historical exhibition will provide lots of information about the period of Japanese occupation in Indonesia in 1942 to 1945.
Ini pameran kan sebagian dari materinya untuk
some materials in this exhibition are shown for the first time. There are several collections from the Netherlands, from the National Library, the National Archives, and we want, of course, that historical material like this can be accessed more by the public. Besides making an exhibition, we also publish books and then later at the Antara Gallery on the 14th of August exhibition. Just now we talk about the reach of conversation and exhibition to several cities, so that the public can access the exhibition more widely. We will provide information that I think is very important about our historical section 1942 to 1945 about the period of Japanese occupation. Hilmar further explained that the purpose of the exhibition was to provide education to the community and to strengthen the heart-to-heart relationship between Indonesia and Japan that had been established for a long time, especially in cultural aspects. This activity is expected to open opportunities for cooperation in the cultural field between the two countries that are stronger, broader, and more dynamic in the future. Hilmar also said that his party had discussed the exchange of historical resources between Indonesia and Japan, because there are still many historical sources of Indonesia that have not been accessed in Japan. Orchestra from Asturias, Spain, Orquesta de Cámara de Sierra, OCAS, again, held a number of collaborative music concerts with traditional Indonesian musicians. The music project titled Vinkoslus for Indonesia 2018 was held in Maluku, Central Sulawesi, Riau, and Jakarta provinces during August and September 2018. This is the second time OCAS visited Indonesia after a successful concert with Watanyari traditional musicians in Lake Toba, North Sumatra, and Thousand Islands last year. This year, OCAS presents several collaboration, educational, workshop, and other cultural and social activities in Ambon, Sigi and Parigi, Mutong Regencies, Pekanbaru, and Jakarta. OCAS conductor Manuel Paz on Thursday evening, August the 2nd, in Ambon said they will collaborate with Ambonese traditional music group Tahuri from Negeri Hutu Muri. At the concert, OCAS will bring three traditional Ambon songs. Together with Tahuri from Ambon Music, there are three songs. In addition, there are some songs from Asturias. Then there are some songs from Latin America. You see, Latin America and Spain, even though the distance is far away, but both have many similarities. Then there are two songs from Andalusia, because there are two OCAS members from Andalusia. Manuel Paz further explained the traditional song was titled Ayo Mama Huhate and Goro Gorone, with the theme of spreading the spirit of solidarity, peace, unity in pluralism. The Finkolos for Indonesia 2018 was held in the city of Ambon on August 3 to 5, which will be projected as UNESCO International City of Music in 2019. Finkolos is implemented as part of Indonesia's strong commitment through the Ministry of Education and Culture to strengthen cultural cooperation between the government of the Republic of Indonesia and the Kingdom of Spain. This activity also coincided with the 60th anniversary of diplomatic relations between the Republic of Indonesia and the Kingdom of Spain. OCAS Orchestra Group will also hold flash mobs or mass dances in Maluku City Mall and big concert at Ambon Cultural Park. Secretary of the Directorate General for America and Europe, Ratu Silvi Gayatri, has said that Indonesia appreciates Russian offering market access to palm oil and cooperation in coping with black campaigns against Indonesian palm oil products. Ratu was addressing a palm oil discussion as a key speaker in a Russian-Indonesian business forum, which preceded an Indonesian festival held at the Indonesian embassy in Moscow from August 2 to 5. The discussion with a theme, high-quality Indonesian palm oil application and current issues, addressed also by Sat M. Sinaga from the Indonesia Palm Oil Board, Joko Supriyono from the Indonesian Palm Oil Association, and Darmono Tani Wiyono from the Indonesia Palm Oil Society. Ratu explained the palm oil policy of the Indonesian government, saying palm oil is a major commodity contributing greatly to the country's economic development, as it directly concerns the livelihood of 2.5 million of Indonesian farm families. She added, the palm oil sector contributes significantly to efforts to eradicate poverty and provides 4.2 million jobs. Ratu said, for that reason, the Indonesian government and business sector highly value cooperation with Russia in the palm oil sector. Indonesian Tourism Ministry launched three main packages in a bid to attract Russian tourists through airline partnership, hot deals package, and digital programmatic tools. The Ministry's Tourism Development Director for Europe Regions, Agustini Rahayu, said the programs are strategic to reach an extraordinary result. The launching was held in a sideline event of the Russian-Indonesia Business Forum, organized by World Trade Center Moscow, Russia-Indonesia Business Council, and Indonesian Embassy in Moscow. Opened by National Development and Planning Minister Bambang Brojonegoro, the forum was held as a series event in the Indonesia Festival in Krasnaya Prasya Park, Moscow, on August 2 to 5. Agustini Rahayu touched on the utilization of tourism infrastructure to enhance the tourism arrivals and boost the tourism development in the country. The third festival organized by the Ministry in tandem with Indonesian Embassy in Russia aimed to attract tourist arrivals in the country, considering the visit was increased throughout 2016 to 2017. In 2016, the total visit of Russian tourists was 80,514 and rose to 110,529 visits in 2017, or increased by 37.25%. Agustini went on to say that Bali was widely acknowledged in Russia. Thus, other tourism destinations to be promoted were Lombok, Bintan, Batam, Yogyakarta, Toba Lake, Samosir Island, and Raja Ampat. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Indonesian Embassy in Copenhagen again held a Performing Arts and Culture of Indonesia in Denmark with Boyolali Art Ambassador, who was present in Copenhagen in order to promote art and culture from Central Java. The head of the Information, Social and Culture of Indonesian Embassy in Copenhagen, Ismail N. Pulungan, told Antara News Agency in London on Friday that he admitted Denmark was the third country visited after previously performing art in Sweden and Norway. The art and cultural performances were held at the embassy in Copenhagen, attended by 200 invited guests consisting of several foreign ambassadors and other VIP guests, the dance community and the diaspora Indonesia, and the extended family of the Indonesian embassy in Copenhagen. Ambassador of the Republic of Indonesia to Kingdom of Denmark, M. Ibnu Said, said the visit of the Danish art ambassadors in Denmark showed the diversity of Indonesian culture, including some traditional dances that can be introduced to Danish society on the art performances that take place in the yard of the embassy office in Copenhagen. The art ambassador from Boyolali City collaborated with Inda Dance Group from Denmark, featuring dances such as Kala Krida Dance, Kusuma Bangsa Dance, Bujang Ganong Dance, Max Dance, welcoming speeches by the head of Boyolali delegation and a get-together. The country's automotive industrialists said they are ready to expand the use of biodiesel 20 fuel for all diesel engine vehicles. General Chairman of the Indonesian Federation of Motor Vehicle Industry, Gaikindo, Johannes Nangoi, at the opening of Gaikindo Indonesia International Auto Show, GIIAS 2018, in Tangerang Selatan on Thursday, August 2nd, said that the Federation is ready to support implementation of biodiesel 20 Euro emission standard determined by the government. Indonesian Industry Minister Erlangga Hartanto said B20 is designed as substitution for imported fuel to save $21 million per day or $5.9 billion per year. Erlangga said it is the fastest import substitutions and would improve the country's balance of payments. Previously, only subsidized diesel engine vehicles or public service obligation vehicles, such as railways, were required to use B20 for fuel. Ahead of non-PSO diesel engine vehicles such as heavy equipment in the mining sector, tractors and excavators, and private cars using diesel engines are also required to use B20 for fuel. Therefore, the government will revise the Presidential Regulation No. 61 of 2015 on collection and use of oil palm plantation fund. The revision is awaiting only for the signature of Indonesian President Joko Widodo. Erlangga said non-subsidized biodiesel is larger in supply than subsidized biodiesel. Supply of non-subsidized biodiesel is estimated to reach 16 million tons. It means there is additional demand for 3.2 million tons of biodiesel per year. Erlangga said the basic material for biodiesel is available in abundance in Indonesia in the form of crude palm oil. The upcoming implementation of the 18 Asian Games is expected to help boost Indonesian economy, according to an economist of the Institute for Development of Economics and Finance, INDEF, Bima Yudhistira Ardi Negara. Bima said in Jakarta on Tuesday, August 2nd, that the organizing of the Asian Games will certainly have an impact on the economy of Indonesia, if the economy can grow. He also remarked that Asian Games events can encourage people to shop, especially athletes, officials and visitors, so the economy can continue to grow. It could happen that the visitors or tourists who earlier only intend to watch the game, they all of the sudden shop in Indonesia, let alone the price is also cheap. Thus, income or foreign exchange may increase. Along with the increase in foreign exchange, the number of tourists in Indonesia during the Asian Games will also increase. He explained, after watching the Games, the visitors can continue their trips to Bali, Lombok, Raja Ampat or to other tourist attractions. This can raise the foreign exchange. Furthermore, he said the growth of Indonesian economy can also be done by the number of perpetrators of micro, small and medium enterprises involved in the Asian Games. More micro, small and medium enterprises are involved in the Asian Games, so a lot of job opportunities are available. Well, listener, that was the news.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary, which today is on Zimbabwe's post-Mugabe general elections. Monday, July the 30, 2018 is a historic day for the people of Zimbabwe for the first time since the fall of former President Robert Mugabe late last year. Zimbabwe held the presidential, national, and regional parliament elections. In the presidential election, 23 people registered as candidates, but only two have claimed to have the support of the people's votes, namely incumbent President Emmerson Mnangagwa of ZANU-PF Party and leader of the Opposition Movement of Democratic Change, or MDC, Nelson Chamisa. If no candidate gets a vote of more than 50%, then a second round of voting will be held on September the 8th. President Mnangagwa claimed to win this election, so did Chamisa. The MDC leader even accused the allegation of fraud, though was denied by the ruling camp. The chaos in the election has taken at least three lives. The government blamed the opposition as the cause of the riots. The provisional announcement of Zimbabwe's legislative election on Wednesday, August the 1st, says that the current ruling party, ZANU-PF, has won 110 of the 2,000 of 210 seats in the lower house. The opposition MDC won 41 seats, other parties 2 seats, while the remaining 57 seats are still being counted. With the achievement of more than half of the parliamentary seats, the ZANU-PF party may win this election. Like the presidential election, however, the opposition also refuses to accept this election result because it is considered full of fraud. Meanwhile, the father of Zimbabwe, Robert Mugabe, who is 94 years old, also participated in this election. However, apparently he was still hurt for being forcibly taken down last year, making him speak out against his own party, ZANU-PF, a few days before the election. He even encouraged people to vote for parties outside ZANU-PF. On election day, Mugabe chose not to issue any statement. Seeing this development and looking at the result of the general elections, it is certainly not expected to increase the tension in Zimbabwe. Opposition parties should keep sympathizer not to be anarchists, while the ruling party also provides an opportunity to recount if there is a demand. Anyone who becomes the president and any party that controls the parliament are expected to be a protector for all Zimbabweans. Well, that was commentary today on Zimbabwe's post-Mugabe general elections. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, it's nice to meet you again. With me, Hernita, our regular today segment, which brings back people from an event which occurred on August 4, 1916. The United States purchased the Virgin Islands from Denmark worth $25 million. The Virgin Islands, the United States, is an unincorporated territory belongs to the United States in the Caribbean region. Geographically, the region is part of the Virgin Islands. The U.S. Virgin Islands consist of four main islands, namely St. Thomas, St. John, St. Croix, and Water Island, as well as other small islands. The next event on August 4, 1949, Hatta 1 Cabinet ends its duty and replaced by Hatta 2 Cabinet. The Hatta 1 Cabinet is the seventh cabinet established in Indonesia. This cabinet was formed by Vice President Muhammad Hatta on the orders of President Sukarno on January 23, 1948, the same day when the previous cabinet was declared dissolved. This cabinet served on the January 29, 1948 until August 4, 1949 period. Now we conclude today in history with an event which occurred on August 4, 2007, the launching of Phoenix Space Station. Phoenix is National Aeronautics and Space Administration of NASA's Inspired spacecraft, which was launched to Mars under the Mars Scout program. Mars is the fourth closest planet from the Sun. Phoenix has a mission to find the natural surroundings which suitable for the life of microorganisms on Mars and investigate water history on the planet. The spacecraft was launched on August 4, 2007 and landed on Mars on May 25, 2008. On June 25, 2008, NASA confirmed the discovery of ice on Mars after discovering the chunks of white objects found in trenches dug by the Phoenician landing plane, then vanished in 4 days. Phoenix was regarded as the sixth landing on Mars and the first landing in the polar region of Mars. The Phoenix program was headed by the Moon and Planet Laboratories, University of Arizona, under the guidance of the NASA Jet Propulsion Laboratory. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Dear listener, welcome back to My Indonesia. In today's edition, we will bring a topic about Pertamina manages Rokan Block. The government through Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources decided to entrust the management of Rokan Block to Pertamina or Persero. Previously, the oil and gas block, which was located in Riau, was managed by PT Chevron Pacific Indonesia, a subsidiary of the giant world oil and gas company from USA Chevron since 1971. Coordinating Minister of Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan in Jakarta on Wednesday said that the consideration to choose Pertamina was actually done in business so that the previous operator, Chevron Indonesia, which offered less advantage to the country, had to lose. Minister Luhut explained that Rokan Block is the great asset in oil and gas sector since it has big supply, moreover, if it can apply new technology. The minister affirmed that Rokan still has 1.2 billion barrels of oil which could be utilized. Meanwhile, PT Pertamina welcomed the decision of Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources, which especially given the management right of Rokan Block. It was said by caretaker of Managing Director of PT Pertamina, Nike Widiawati, at Merdeka Barat 9 Forum, entitled Maintaining the Availability of Oil and Gas in Jakarta on Wednesday. Nike was ready to manage the most prosperous oil and gas block in Indonesia, which had production capacity of more than 210,000 barrels of oil per day. She said that the whole production result from Rokan Block would enter the Pertamina's refinery so that it would reduce the crude oil export for the need of refined fuel oil production and other crude oil processed products. Nike believed that the reduction of the crude oil export could save the Indonesian foreign exchange until $4 billion per year.
Dengan adanya WKWK itu dikelola oleh
With the existence of working area being managed by Pertamina, 100% of the production can put into Pertamina's refinery. There is nothing to export, so it is affected to the affordability because the import purchasing price and the price from purchasing of domestic upstream products are sharply different. When we counting rokan, we do not only count the economy of the working area, but also the impact toward the reduction of production costs in the long term during 20 years. We then convey to the government that there will be a foreign exchange savings of $4 billion per year. Nika Widiawati added, by managing the Rokan block, Pertamina could realize energy autonomy of the country, because there will be a new supply from the block which has been operating for more than 90 years. The whole production of 100% came to Pertamina to fulfill the need of fuel oil in the country, which currently depended on the import. Besides the Rokan block management, the potency of the country's revenue for 20 years of management will reach $57 billion, or about 825 trillion rupiah. Currently, the Rokan block consisted of the main oil field, Duri and Minas field, managed by PT Chevron Pacific Indonesia. The contract of the company will run out in the next 2021. Referring to the annual report in 2017, PT Chevron Pacific Indonesia became the second largest contributor after Thailand for the holding company in the US. That's my Indonesia.
Here is news in brief. I'm Dalat Pani. In commemoration of the 110th anniversary of the National Awakening Day, which coincided with the 60th anniversary of the diplomatic relations between Indonesia and Japan, Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture, in cooperation with the National Library of the Republic of Indonesia, the National Archives of the Republic of Indonesia, the National News Agency Antara, and the branch office of the Republic of Indonesia state-owned printing company Surakarta Lokananta held a historical exhibition carrying the theme The Flowering Cone Between Bedil and Sakura. Orchestra from Asturias, Spain, Orchestra de Chamara de Sierra, OCAS, again held a number of collaborative music concerts with traditional Indonesian musicians. The music project titled Vinculus for Indonesia 2018 was held in Maluku, Santal, Sulawesi, Riau and Jakarta provinces during August and September 2018. Secretary of the Directorate General for America and Europe Ratu Sylvie Gayatri has said that Indonesia appreciates Russian offering market access to palm oil and cooperation in coping with black campaigns against Indonesian palm oil products. Ratu was addressing a palm oil discussion as a key speaker in a Russian-Indonesian business forum, which preceded an Indonesian festival held at the Indonesian embassy in Moscow from August 2 to 5. Indonesian Tourism Ministry launched three main packages in a bid to attract Russian tourists through airlines partnership, hot deals package, and digital programmatic tools. The Ministry's Tourism Development Director for Europe Regions, Agustin Rahayu, said the programs are strategic to reach an extraordinary result. The Indonesian Embassy in Copenhagen again held the Performing Arts and Culture of Indonesia in Denmark with Boyolali Art Ambassador, who was present in Copenhagen in order to promote art and culture from Santal, Java. The country's automotive industrialists said they are ready to expand the use of biodiesel 24 for all diesel engine vehicles. General Chairman of the Indonesian Federation of Motor Vehicle Industry, Gaikindo, Johannes Nangoi, at the opening of Gaikindo Indonesia International Auto Show in Tangerang Selatan on Thursday, said that the Federation is ready to support implementation of biodiesel 20 Euro emission standard determined by the government. The upcoming implementation of the 18 Asian Games is expected to help boost Indonesian economy, according to an economist for the Institute for Development of Economics and Finance, Bima Yudhistira Adinegara. Bima said in Jakarta on Tuesday that the organizing of Asian Games will certainly have an impact on the economy of Indonesia its economy can grow. Well, listener, that was news in brief.
Bukalah matamu, kuatkan hatimu, berikan energi di dalam semangatmu.
Tegaklah berdiri, terbanglah kau tinggi. Inilah saatnya namamu bergema. Maknai kekalahan sebagai kemenangan yang tertunda. Jangan pernah berputus asa, jadi yang terbaik.
Of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program,
Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Asrah Batin tradition. Stay tuned. On July 29, 2018, thousands of people in Kedung Jati, Grobogan, Sentul, Java gathered on the edge of Tuntang River. They gathered to cross the 15 meters wide Tuntang River to Ngombak village, Kedung Jati, Grobogan. The event is called Asrah Batin tradition. On this tradition, which has lasted 400 years, Karanglangu people crossed the fast flowing river with 70 centimeter depth, which splitted Karanglangu and Ngombak villages. Well, Ngombak people welcomed the arrival of Karanglangu people with a perfect service. There are people who kept on guard on the edge of the river. Some of people also performed some attraction of entertainment and various Javanese special foods. Asrah Batin tradition is usually started in the morning until afternoon. People have gathered on the edge of the river in the morning. In the tradition, which is held once in 2 years, the head village and staffs picked up by representative from Ngombak village by using decorated raft. Meanwhile, all young and old Karanglangu people cross the river on foot accompanied by some Ngombak people. Ngombak people, which have been waiting the arrival of Karanglangu people, then welcome them warmly. When they arrived in Ngombak, the great feast has been provided for them. Listener, Asrah Batin tradition close related to the local people belief of the existence of Kedana Kedini, namely Raden Sutejo and Roro Musia, who were believed as the ancestor founder of Karanglangu and Ngombak villages. According to the mythology, Kedana and Kedini were siblings. They were separated when they were child. Kedana lived in Karanglangu while Kedini lived in Ngombak. In a short time, when they grew up, they finally met and fell in love. Unfortunately, the marriage finally did not happen after it was revealed that they were siblings who have been separated. Asrah Batin is another term of pasrah batin, trying sincerely to the reality. Asrah Batin tradition also the realization of gratitude to the Creator. Since the Creator's approval, the forbidden marriage between the siblings finally did not happen. The story of Kedana Kedini from the two villages was not only a common story. It was proven by the existence of tombs and gravestones. The youth of Karanglangu and Ngombak are forbidden to love each other since generation to generation. The people of the two villages also believed if the rule is broken, there would be happen disaster. Nowadays, Asrah Batin is not only the people's ritual, but also becomes the tourism attraction of Grobogan Regency. Was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Asrah Batin tradition. Thank you for listening.
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany. In today's edition, we will explore the topics of Indonesian festival in Moscow. Stay tuned. Indonesian Embassy in Moscow has held third Indonesian festival in Krasnaya Prashnya Park in Moscow on August 2nd until August 5th. The theme of the festival is Visit Wonderful Indonesia, Explore Our Regions. This activity is the event of trade promotion, investment, tourism, cultural art, and as part of economic diplomacy of Indonesia in Russia. The festival initiated by Indonesian Embassy in Moscow presents the exhibition of Indonesian excellent products from some regions, such as coffee, garment, accessories, palm oil, culinary, and craft, which are spreading 85 booths. Festival Indonesia also presents various arts and culture performances from the regions, such as songs, dances and musical instruments show both on the main stage and other separated stages. Indonesian Ambassador to Russia and Belarus, M. Wahid Supriyadi, said that the festival is more specially arranged, such as wider location, than the previous festival. And there are special pavilions of Indonesian regions. On this festival, the visitors can see the miniature of Indonesia.
Festivalnya sendiri 3-5, itu jam 12 sampai 9.
The festival, which is from August 3rd until August 5th, begins at 12 a.m. until 9 p.m. It is art and cultural performance, but we also create such market there. It is different from the previous year, which was divided into regions. We don't make it into clusters. For instance, there are batik, fashion, handicrafts, culinary, and it lasts until 9 p.m. Listener, Indonesian Festival in Moscow begins with Business Forum of Indonesia-Russia and Business Matching on August 2nd in the World Trade Center. Besides the Governor, Deputy Governor, Regent, and a number of officials of Indonesia, Head of National Development Planning Agency, Bambang Brojonegoro, attended the Business Forum. The forum might be attended by about 500 entrepreneurs, both from Russia and Indonesia. The supporting tourism infrastructure is the main focus in the forum. Nevertheless, other sectors are also going to be discussed in the forum, such as energy, industry, interconnectivity, and palm oil. Listener, that was Miscellany for today. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which presents you to the music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will introduce you to traditional songs from Bangka Belitung. To initiate our segment Music Corner for today, let's listen to a song entitled Kuta Lama by Habli Nur. The song tells about Muntok, the capital city of West Bangka Regency. Enjoy the song.
Thank you.
just listened to the song entitled Kuta Lama by Hablin Nur. Through the lyrics, the song told the historical city of Muntok, located in the top west of Bangka Island. The city has abundant historical places such as the Old Mosque, Chinese Temple, and Burial Place of Raja. The city marks a monumental point in the Indonesian history, as in the past time, the city used to be the seclusion place of two Indonesian founding fathers, namely Bung Karno and Bung Hatta. Kuta Lama is usually selected as the contested song in a singing competition held to commemorate the anniversary of Muntok. The city tells important message and advice for the young generations to always love and preserve the history and culture of Muntok. Let's listen to the next traditional song from Bangka Belitung entitled Mandi Dak Behabun. Mandi Dak Behabun is the traditional song of South Bangka Regency. Performed by Hamsan Gober, the song is rich in valuable messages. It reminds young generations to keep up their spirit in working and to take care of themselves. Listener, here is Mandi Dak Behabun by Hamsan Gober. Happy listening.
Bangka Selatan, ngapai kita berpangku tangan? Jangan kita males-males begawi. Ingat pesan orang tua kita, pacak-pacak lah ika ngejaga diri. Semakin tinggi semakin dipuji. Dari sungai Labun naik ke Rito, biar dak behabun tapi makai hampu. Dari sungai Labun naik ke Rito, biar dak behabun tapi makai hampu. Tur kemuning lentur, puremes lentur kerena buah. Biar habang hancur, hai hancur lebur. Cupak kengantang dakkan berubah. Ingatlah ingat pesan kerio, panting menek selamat kepala dak pening. Kelapo muda, kelapo tue, kelapo tue pacak dikukur. Ai urang muda ita di mane, cube laki ni ita beguyur. Jangan sampai ditinggal. Kita ngelimbang, kinyare timah. Jangan sampai dahada. Yo kita kena junjung behau, hame henang, yo hame haro. Yo kita kena junjung behau, menek henang, jangan takut haro. Bangka Selatan, ngapai kita berpangku tangan? Jangan kita males-males begawi. Ingat pesan orang tua kita, pacak-pacak lah ika ngejaga diri. Semakin tinggi semakin dipuji. Dari sungai Labun naik ke Rito, biar dak behabun tapi makai hampu. Dari sungai Labun naik ke Rito,
biar tak behabun tapi makai hampu.
To conclude our segment of today of Music Corner, let's listen to the last song entitled Alam Wisata Pulau Bangka. This traditional song from Bangka depicts the magnificence of Bangka starting from its sea to the land. The song tells that Bangka has wonderful white sand beach with blue and clean water. Whoever comes to Bangka will be rejoiced by its beauty. Listener, thank you for joining us on our daily segment of Music Corner, and we hope the songs we've presented today will enhance your knowledge about Indonesia. See you on the next edition of Music Corner. Bye for now.
Panjang pantai Bangka, kita duduk di sore hari. Burung camar terbang di atas ombak, sedengar agi.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th Floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.